You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's good to have you. And I'm super glad you're listening right now so that I can tell you about Gun Street Wiring Shop. Gun Street Wiring Shop, if you've been listening for a while, you've heard they've been sponsoring this podcast for a good bit now. Sean and the team over at Gun Street make the finest guitar wiring harnesses on the market, and they will make them to your specifications. Even made a custom one here a few weeks ago for my good friend, Mr. Justin Porter. They made a custom harness for his Schecter Ultra 3. It turned out fabulous. And so, yeah, if you need it, they can help you with it. But they got classic Telecaster wiring, Strat, you know, all that good stuff. Their roots are in Fender, but they're not stuck there, and they are definitely down to explore any project that you might have up your sleeve. So make sure to check out GunStreetWiringShop.com for all your guitar wiring needs. This episode is also brought to you by the wonderful folks over at Sinusoid. If you need a cable, let's be honest, there isn't a single one of us who doesn't need a cable of some sort, whether it be a lead from your guitar to your pedal board or a patch cable, but there's a good chance you even need like an aux cable for your car. They make those too. So you want to plug your phone in, you want to get the clearest signal you can, you don't want to use that Bluetooth junk, there's probably an aux in there, and they make a cable just for that. Well, for those of us dinosaurs like me that still have headphone jacks on their phones. I know, it's crazy, right? But yes, Sinusoid can hook you up with the finest cables in the industry, and they all carry a 100-year warranty. So, like I said, unless you're some sort of undead or like maybe like a mystical creature of some sort, these cables are going to last your lifetime. They guarantee it. So go to Sinusoid.com, check them out, and treat yourself. And one last quick thing I wanted to remind you guys about the Tone Mob Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/tonemob, there's a whole bunch of extra content available for you at just $5 extra per month. So $5 per month, you're going to get at least one extra extended episode every week. And in the case of this week, you actually get in two extra episodes. So we got one, we got an extended version of this interview with Ryan from Yellow Cake. And then two, we had a special guest drop by the Shred Shed. It's Kyle McIntyre from the Tone Jerks podcast. And him and Jess and I hung out and we talked about hot dogs and guitars and all kinds of different things. So there's a double whammy over on Patreon this week for those $5 and up subscribers. So again, that's patreon.com/tonemob. You can check it out. You can check out the different levels, and anything, even just checking it out, is really, really appreciated. It helps support the show, helps keep this thing going. So I really appreciate anybody checking that out. And without further ado, on with the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the ToneMob.com podcast, the show about guitar tone and the people behind it. I'm your host, Blake Weiland, and with me today, I have Ryan McKay of Yellow Cake Pedals. This is the first time this has happened. This is the third appearance Ryan has made on the podcast.
Hi, everybody listening, and Blake, of course. I was thinking about this when we talked about it earlier. Are you sure it's the third time? I'm trying to think back. The first time was 2015, and then we did another one.
We might have even done another one in 2015 or early 2016. But you've definitely been on twice.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that's. Am I the third one? Really? That can't be right.
Yeah, but that's right, man.
Okay. I can't be right. It can't be right that I'm the first one to do three podcasts.
You're the first one to do three Tone Mob episodes.
Oh, do I get a no prize?
I don't know.
I don't know. Well, maybe I guess we can get you a pizza. Marvel fans, old Marvel fans, comic nerds would know to know for. Oh, a pizza, even better.
I am a comic fan, and for some reason, that's not ringing a bell to me.
Back when I was a kid, they would have the letter columns in the on all the comic books, and anytime somebody would pick out something wrong, or they thought was off or an error or something in that issue, they would write in, and, you know, back before computers and all that kind of stuff, and they would say, like, am I right? Do I get a no prize? And sometimes your letter would get posted, and then sometimes you would just, like, wait 6 months and you would get a no prize. And I didn't know what a no prize was. You know, there weren't forms back then. There weren't wasn't anything like, you know, I just wasn't picking up on it because I was a kid. I was just like, what's a no prize? I mean, it's got to be, you know. And so, like, it's just thin envelope. It was cruel and funny. And it's this thin envelope, like what you would get a pay stub in, you know. And, mm-hmm. like, you just peel off the top and open it up, and it's just like, this is your no prize. It's just printed. I'm just like, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you guys are funny. You know what I mean?
That's like, actually kind of awesome.
Oh, it is. And I was just like, well, you know, I'm one of probably thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people in the 80s that got a no prize. So there you go.
That's great. What do you remember what you called out?
I don't remember which comic book it was at the time.
Oh man, I would love to know that. I've got I can't honestly.
I don't think they printed the letter. If they did print the letter, I might have missed it. But if they did, it could have been something that a lot of people called out. So they just sent everybody a no prize, and then they just picked a letter and printed it. You know what I mean? But I can't remember what.
Oh,
it was
yeah,
by.
Yeah.
And
that makes sense. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't think I was the only person that spotted whatever the error or misnomer or whatever was going on in that particular issue. But, you know, I mean, like, I sent the letter off, and oh my God, I don't know how long, it had to have been like 6 months, and I completely forgot about it. And it was like, get this thing in the mail from Marvel. I'm like, oh, what is this? And I, you know, remember it like, oh, my no prize. And yep, that's exactly what it is.
That's
no
wonderful.
Prize. It's like, congratulations, you get nothing.
Congratulations, yes, you are a giant nerd.
Yeah. Are you a fan of the Marvel movies at all?
Oh, definitely. I'm not as up on them as I used to be, but I am a big fan of all that stuff.
Okay, so I wasn't sure. I'm not sure if you caught up to, like, Infinity War or anything like that.
I just watched Infinity War recently. I already knew what was going to happen because I already knew, I didn't know how they were going to implement it, but I already knew what the Infinity War premise
right.
was.
Right.
And hey, for everybody listening, if you haven't seen this yet, I mean, turn it off because this is your spoiler alert right now. This is your spoiler alert. You're just going to have to skip ahead.
I think it's been out long enough. It's really hard not to know.
Like, unless somebody, like, directly spoils something for me, I am really fascinatingly good at avoiding spoilers for the most part on things that I care about.
Well, I don't want people not to listen to this podcast, so I don't want them to turn it off. They'll turn it off, and then they're not going to watch the movie. They'll watch, like, 3 years later, like, oh, yeah, that's right, that was that podcast. Is it still available? You know, we'll just lose a bunch of views. We're not going to go any further.
I really want to go in further.
But do you agree or disagree with just the way that, because there's all these Marvel storylines in the Marvel universe, that they have thus far done a really, really good job to make it a good movie, a good storyline, and handle everything as best as they could and develop characters? I mean, this is an arc that started, like, you know, with the first Iron Man. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think they've done a fantastic job with it on the whole. I really do.
And then there's DC
that just drops the ball.
It's not perfect, but DC drops the ball constantly, which is sad. You know,
I'm so like, well, see, what's so weird about DC and with their movies and their universe is, like, when they get it, they really get it. You know what I mean? Like, when they get a good Batman, like, they get the Dark Knight trilogy, it's like, oh yeah.
But that doesn't operate in the DC universe of the other superheroes. I mean, I guess it's more of, like, it's definitely more of a believable. It's not so far out of left field superhero type stuff. I did like Ben Affleck as the Batman. I mean, I felt like his character needed to get developed more, but I mean, I liked him. I just thought everything else was just, they were trying to do what Marvel did in like two movies to try to bring everything together. And it just doesn't work that way, I don't think.
Yeah. And it's upsetting because I thought, despite what critics would say, I thought Man of Steel was excellent on the whole.
The one thing I hated about it is I thought that like the gratuitous, it wasn't violence as much as like the gratuitous destruction I thought was just way too over the top.
And I don't think so because I think if let's pretend that was really happening, that's what it would be like.
Yeah, you know, if
Superman's fighting Superman, he's not going to punch him and he's going to fall over. He's going to punch him and he's going to fly through everything.
Try to put him in a headlock. You can fly at least 50 miles outside of town in like 5 seconds and have it out in the middle of a cornfield or wherever the hell ever where there's nobody going to be, you know.
But it's kind of one of those things, though, like, well, yeah, they could do that, but is Zod going to want to do that? Zod's going to want to duke it out like where he doesn't care.
Right.
You know what I mean,
well, so I guess
he's going to try to keep.
If you think about the first Avengers movie, okay, which I will spoil because if you haven't seen that, I mean, come on.
Yeah, then, that's fair. Know, that's fair game.
But like, I mean, they did. There was a lot of destruction in New York City, but it wasn't like the whole city was decimated to like nothing, and there were like huge buildings falling on everybody. They just did it in a more of a way that to kind of keep you into the like that more of like fantasy of the comic.
Yeah,
book.
But even that was a little different because General Zod is essentially Superman as far as his powers are concerned.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So like you're basically Superman versus Superman at this point. And the problem with Superman as a superhero, I know he's like the OG and everything. But which is why he's never going to be as interesting as some of the other superheroes, in my opinion, is because he's too powerful. He has too many abilities, you know?
He also doesn't have, like, the type of brooding darkness that some of them have. And I don't know. He's not as deep of a character, possibly.
He should be, though. It's just his story's kind of fascinating. But, like, I wonder why it's not as interesting most of the time as, like, Batman.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like they just kind of pushed everything out there and they just didn't. I don't know. It's unfortunate. And the Doomsday character could have been done so much better, too.
I think I would agree with you on that, but I don't think it was bad. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm only going to give it a couple more minutes of comic book talk.
Okay, no more comic books. I'm not trying to go like I know that you. When I was listening to the Ryan Burke podcast, you guys were all over the map. So I'm not trying to be that way.
At least I gave fair warning. Like I was like, we didn't talk about guitars at all.
Not really. No.
We you got, really
he tried
did
to get
on
you
the...
into politics, and you were like, no. Which I kind of probably am with you right there. I just don't like to get into that.
No, I don't want to get into that. No. Ryan wants me to say something dumb that will get me like somebody will take that soundbite and make it sound like I said something awful. You know, like
that's not very nice. Ryan's not that kind of guy.
The man loves controversy. He loves
Doesn't
it.
He really? I mean, I like Ryan. Yeah, he's a really nice guy. And
I think he's awesome too, but he likes controversy a lot more than I do.
And congrats to Ryan because he just had his second child recently.
He did. It's wonderful.
All right. So what's next? What's up? Go ahead.
So yellow cake petals. So,
yeah,
it was more of a coincidence than anything. But I last night, I was playing, you know, out in the shred shed as I do. And I went, oh yeah, I want to play. What do I want to play? I haven't played with this for a little bit. And I was like, And, I busted out the Furry and Fried. And I don't know if it's because I'd been texting you or what. I didn't intentionally do it to talk about it on this podcast, but I did bust out the Furry and Fried last night, and I found out how much that thing likes to be played with a baritone.
Really?
It really likes to be played with a baritone. Oh, yeah. Big
That's
time.
That's rad. I don't own a baritone, so... I mean,
you have a bass?
I do. Now, I do have I do know of bass players that use the furry burrito that love it. Like one in particular for sure that stands out, Matt Strong from Space Face. If anybody is familiar with Space Face, kind of like that bit of has kind of like a psychedelic vibe. Kind of, I don't really know how to describe them. They're just like kind of more of like a psychedelic rock, and they're really fun. And actually, the lead singer for Jake from Space Face is also one of the touring guitar players for the Flaming Lips. So,
oh, okay,
and,
gotcha.
And I'm not sure if I haven't talked to Matt in a while, but I'm not sure if Matt still does backline for Flaming Lips when they're touring. He does like some roadie work and stuff, and then Space Face is kind of on the side when they're not touring with Flaming Lips or whatever, when Jake Ingles isn't touring with Flaming Lips. But like, yeah, so he really loves it, and he's used it on a couple of their recordings, if not all of their last record, which I'm not sure. I know they've dropped a couple singles here and there since in the last like couple months, and I still have yet to check them out. But like, yeah, I love it on bass. Your mom on bass is great too. So, I mean, when you get down, especially when you starve it, it just gets a little bit more, which, you know, but that's just me.
Splattier, you know, whatever.
Well, splatter just a little bit more. In some ways, it kind of feels to me like, especially on your mom, it tightens up a little bit. You know what I mean? Because then okay. It kind of, you could kind of get that gated type, whatever. Kind of fuzz,
right,
just
right,
you know, so it's kind of like boom, boom, you know, kind of. I'm totally doing it wrong too, but you know, whatever, it's fine. It's Wednesday.
Yeah, I was running the Furry and Fried, and I had both circuits on, and I ran the Furry Burrito into the Fried Gold,
mm-hmm.
which is a little different than how I would normally do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of using it not really as like this hyper aggressive thing, but more like just adding some texture to some chord work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, this is it right here. This sounds really good.
Thank you.
And so I was really liking what I had going on there. And I had never played the Fried Gold until I got that one. I obviously have had a Furry Burrito regular one for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really, really excited about the Fried Gold. I think Ryan and I talked about it. Speaking of 60 Cycle Ryan,
I think you guys did because he did a demo. He did a demo of it, and he really liked it. He was actually definitely taken with the Fried Gold, which was really nice and to hear.
Yeah, me too.
It's kind of funny. I think he liked the Fried Gold more than he liked the Furry Burrito because of just like the unexpected like characteristics that he wasn't expecting to get. And
it's a unique sounding drive circuit to me, as unique as drives can get. You know, it's hard to make them too different until they don't sound very good. But like this one has a unique flavor and sounds good. So
yeah, and that was the whole idea, because to me, I consider it more like when you totally crank up the volume and gain of just as that as a standalone. It kind of always, and I've said this before, kind of likens itself to me is kind of like a garage rock type pedal where you just almost kind of crank your amp up and kind of just kind of sort of get a tad distorted, blown out a little bit, but not really. And, you know, depending on what your guitar pickup configuration is.
So, yeah, but sometimes certain amps, like smaller vintage amps, sound really great like that, but sometimes they feel a little flabby and
right.
weird.
Right.
And it doesn't do that.
Right. And I don't know. I was going by using because I was using an early 70s Fender Twin when I was testing that one, going through the motions and stuff with that one before it was released. And so I kind of just got something more out of that. Like what, you know, I mean, there are, I guess, I think with stuff, certain pedals and stuff, you could probably drive yourself crazy. And if you have like a fleet of amps to test them on, because they're always going to sound a bit different, and some are going to sound better on than others, some pedals, whether it be something that I have or anybody else's that it's out there. So, I mean, And then it's also like, you know, always subjective what a person wants, what a person thinks they want and what they hear. And then also there's always that, you know, what they either hear about or what, you know, the guitar shop guy puts in front of them, you know, and then, you know, just a lot of that out there, which is, I think that's just what part of it, what makes it all very special anyway. So it's a different time for pedals than it was, I think, when I first started, and definitely what it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago. I mean, it's just a lot of people are building pedals now. And I thought,
yeah,
it was
it's become a really challenging thing to it. It's always been, not always, I think in the earlier days, and I think anybody you talk to in this business will say the same thing. In the earlier days, it was a bit easier just to get off the ground and get running, and actually have something, you know, have some cut through the noise a little bit. And So in some ways you started like at a really good time because you were right at the tail end of that even being doable. Now, if you don't come out with something that really grabs people's attention, you're like screaming into the wind type of situation, just because
exactly. If you don't have something that's screaming to get people's attention, or you're starting, or unless you're starting like with like willing to spend, you know, a large sum of money from the get-go, on like demos, mass marketing, and maybe having connections to being able to get into certain players' hands that are going to give you exposure and stuff, then yeah, you are definitely screaming into the wind. But there's still a lot of people out there. I mean, like I was been doing this just a tad longer than Beatronics, and he is just a monster. Do you know what I mean? But like, he's definitely, he's gone all in to do this. Nothing, I don't think he does anything else but this full time. Like, and I think he's got a huge, and he lives, they live out in LA, I think, and they've got, and their pedals are rad. And they just got this huge marketing juggernaut. And he's also got, I think he comes from, I don't know, but I think he comes from some sort of background having connections within that industry, within the music industry. You know, I'm not jealous of that. It's like, hats off, man. That's awesome. Just do your thing, man. That's great. I mean, you know, I'm freaking Ala freaking Bama. You killed a good old boy. This ain't no way this is going to trial. You know, from like My Cousin Vinny. I mean, that's, you know, that's just the nature of everything, and that's just where I'm at, and that's fine. I've got my thing.
And then Beatronics, you know, too. They didn't, you know, they had to figure out an angle, right? Like, they look very unique. It's very attention grabbing. Like, they knew they couldn't just come out with another box. They had to do something, and they did a good job.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Their pedals are great, and the Royal Jelly just knocked it out of the park. It just totally set itself apart from everything else, you know, and the other stuff they've done before that. I mean, good stuff. Absolutely. I haven't played it, but I mean, I've heard enough clips.
Huh? I said, what are you playing the drums over there? What's going on?
Oh my gosh. Is it just like, I'm just like barely like pouring liquid into a contain, man, this is really sensitive stuff, guys. This is ringer. Well, and there's also this other thing that has happened. I've got this apparently stink bug season. I don't know if you guys have stink bugs in Portland.
Oh yeah.
And they are crazy all over the place this year. Like, I'm getting them, I'm like working on my bench, and then all of a sudden there's this stink bug just crawling across a piece of paper that I've got, because I've got some stuff written down that I'm looking at. And I'm by myself, obviously, but I'm just like, whoa, whoa, you know, just like totally, just like comes out of nowhere, freaking out like a man, you know, sound like a crazy person. I can't imagine, like, you know, if my kids were here or something, and they would be like, what's going on, Dad? You know, and I'm just like, whoa, you know, just all of a sudden just shows up. Just hanging out, you know, just walking,
right,
passing through, you know, just creeping me out, just creeping me out, you know. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for that.
But anyways, yeah. Yeah.
I want to talk about one of your pedals, though, that I want to talk about one of your pedals real quick.
Okay, yes,
I
don't please. Really, I'm sorry. We keep going off on tangents, and I apologize.
It's going to happen. It's just what happens. But I wanted to know, like, because we never really talked, like, we talked about the furry burrito. We talked about the fried gold. We talked about your mom. We talked about all those ones. But we didn't ever really talk about the, I don't know if you say Lita or Lita machine.
Lita machine. No, we never did it. We never did any. We never got a chance to connect and talk about that when it came out last summer.
So tell me all about that. I played it, but tell me exactly what you got going on there.
Yeah, you did. You played it at
Winter NAMM.
Yeah, you did. You did. You came by and played it when I was there at the Pure Salem Guitar booth. That is a low pass voltage control filter. You can power it on 9 or 12 volts. It's got two LFOs, triangle. I'm just going to look at it to refamiliarize myself. That's right here. Yeah. And the right side is always on, but you can always just turn the depth off and just totally take it out of the circuit. And, you know, voltage control filter, a resonant filter, it's got the frequency and resonance. And then the left side is another LFO, triangle-based LFO that you can turn on and off with the extra foot switch. And it's got the
I don't mean three to, toggle I don't mean settings. To sidetrack, but what I don't I'm not familiar what you mean when you say a triangle.
Oh, LFO. It's just like a triangle. It's a triangle waveform. Like basically, like if you're low frequency oscillator. I'm sorry, I just whatever. And it's triangle. It's a triangle shape. There's like, you know, you have your all sorts of different waveform shapes. There's square and reverse and sawtooth and ramp and all that kind of stuff. The second LFO that's switchable on and off has got the same settings like rate and depth to take it, you know, basically take the amount of intensity of that wave into the mix. And it's also a triangle, but it's also got a up toggle for like a ramp and down toggle for sawtooth, unless I've got that backwards. And which I probably do, you know, it's Wednesday. Like I said, I think I said that earlier. And it's ramp on the top and sawtooth on the bottom, I do believe. Or yes. No. Whatever. Anyways.
Or the other way around.
Actually, you can actually play one and then just play one and then just like send me a text or an email or a message through Instagram and be like, no, it's this. And I was like, that's right. I know. I told you it was Wednesday. it's got a clean mix to just bring in a clean signal. And that's pretty much it. It's got a CV, an expression out for the expression pedal of the frequency, and CV in if you want to bring in some other crazy stuff. That was definitely a pedal that I will always look at and be like, that was the one that's. Wow, I was like super happy with the way everything turned out. The knobs demo that was done back in December of last year was huge, very helpful, very, very helpful. Mm-hmm. And it's a very it's become very popular, or it's probably my best selling or my most popular out of everything, which is fine. I mean, like, I'm not, you know, not mad once one iota. I want to be able to do more stuff like that, which is kind of what I'm working on. So, but it's all positive, negative voltage, that kind of thing. Kind of more of like, it doesn't get synthy, but it's like really fun when you add, you know, fuzz, overdrive, distortion, just brings it out even more. So
for sure. I was playing with it with a ton of fuzz when I was playing it. So
yeah, it gets really crazy. I mean, it just adds that extra. It just, yeah, it's super fun. And like, I'll still find settings on it and stuff that I'm like, wow. I mean, the the Premier Guitar people loved it. They did a great write-up on it back in, I think, March or April issue. And yeah, I'm super proud of it. Super, super proud of it. It definitely made me feel like, oh, wow, this is, I can't believe that people really like this one. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to judge all of that. But like, if people really like it, and I've been getting lots of feedback and still lots of questions from people about it too. Emails from people like, hey, I own one. And I'm like, well, if you just, you know, they want to, you know, it's because I didn't put a manual in, which I was probably my fault, obviously. So, you know, and they'll be like, well, when you decided that, was it a Wednesday? And I'm like, I'll probably be like, yeah, probably.
Probably was. It was Wednesday. It was,
yeah, it was probably Wednesday when I decided not to do the manual. I was like, nah, we're not doing that. But yeah, so the Knobs demo was super informative and super helpful. So, and I'm always really bad about explaining stuff. And I know that sounds weird. It's like, well, it's your product. You should know exactly how it works. I was like, well, I do. But then, like, you know, sometimes just like verbally saying something. I don't know if you ever have that problem about stuff or not.
Not terribly. Some things can be difficult to explain, but that's kind of my job. So,
right. Your job is to figure it out. Right. And so, like, there's certain things I can explain perfectly. Like, when I said LFO or triangle waveform, you're like, huh, what? And I was like, oh, that's right. I have to. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm so used to, like, just that. And I know that doesn't help me come off in a good way.
So, yes. With that in mind, I'm going to ask you to explain something.
Okay, yes.
Yes. And this is possibly dangerous information, but it's information that I should know. Since I've been for years, and I still haven't done it, and I probably shouldn't do it. My wallet would say I shouldn't do it, but I really I've been eyeballing Eurorack and modular synthesizers for a while.
Right.
And I know that control voltage is a big deal with those things, but I don't know actually I don't know exactly what it does or how it works. So maybe you can explain that to me.
So basically, any control voltage module, like the Eurorack stuff, you've seen, Adventure Audio has CV inputs and outputs on, I think the Outer Rings or the Dream Reaper. Can't remember.
Outer Rings.
Yeah. And Dwarfcraft has some of those. And typically most of your CV ins and CV outs, which is either sending a signal out from that rack, or it will take and accept a signal in to that rack or pedal. Typically, most of them are 1/8-inch jacks, which they started, I noticed that those guys were using. So you don't have to mess with buying an adapter. I'm going to take the long way around, Doctor Who style. So you have to buy an adapter to convert your like 1/4-inch to 1/8-inch, which I obviously didn't do. So there is that. But control voltage stuff is way different than your typical overdrive, modular, whatever. I know that there's some CV stuff ins and outs on, at least ins on Chase Bliss stuff. Basically it is for anything that's based on control voltage, where voltage is what controls like your settings on your whatever your modular does. Like, so you're familiar enough with like modular stuff, Eurorack stuff, to know what some of it is. Is that correct?
Yeah, some of it.
Okay, so like pick out something.
A simple filter of some sort.
Okay, well, what the filter a filter or VCA will typically take in your weird, crazy LFO stuff, your VCOs, possibly your ADSRs, attack, decay, release, kind of like envelope filter type stuff. Weird sequencer type stuff. Like if you look at the Knobs video, he used a sequencer to shoot in that signal into that filter to bring that out into your out of your what was the Leida machine? What is the Leida machine? So basically, okay. Anything like any of your modular, any of your modulated control voltage Euro racks that are doing something like that would send out. You have a send in if you want to add something extra to it, I suppose. And if you have a send out that goes into something else, eventually it all ends up into probably either a VCF and then out to wherever to go out to your main audio, or a VCF into a VCA to get a little extra boost. And then
out. So for some of the listeners, what are those acronyms?
VCF is a voltage control filter, which is what the Leida machine, and a VCA is essentially just a voltage control amplifier, which is, in my definition, basically just a boost. There's no frequency, there's no resonance, there's no sweeping of anything. It's just basically amplifying your signal to send out.
Okay, gotcha.
Does that make sense?
It does. So basically, it's sort of like the expression control of the modular synth world.
Yeah. More or less.
What is it like? Is it a standard voltage? Like, I mean, I know it's obviously sweeping, but does it like go like the limit is zero and the maximum is what?
Well, it doesn't have to be. I mean, like typically the stuff that's flowing through is 0 to 5 volts. And some of the stuff.
Gotcha.
And even if you're running at a higher voltage, like you're powering that circuit at a higher voltage, it may fluctuate a little bit. Typically, most of the synth world, modular world, runs between 10, 12, and 15 volts. You can pull some stuff off and be fine with 9 volts. But like the way their Eurorack stuff is set up is completely different as far as the way the power structure, as far as like how you're plugging it in. You're not just plugging it into an adapter per se, the way that it's plugged, you know, because they have these kits and everything is kind of done with these big plugs they plug in. And it's some of that stuff I'm not really familiar with because I've not messed with that. I've just more just like studied the overall workings of like, I know how to get 12 volts or 15 volts or 9 volts. I don't think about that side of it. So I just kind of put that out of my brain. I'm just like studying like how the rest of it works.
I was more talking about, and maybe you answered it and I was confused. Like I was more talking about the, you know, like,
oh, with the voltage is up. Yeah. So like,
like what is the control voltage?
If I'm like saying my frequency knob, okay. The frequency knob operates at a sweep of, let's say if I have a 10K knob and the third leg is at positive voltage. The middle leg, which is your out, is at just nothing because it's just your signal out. And your one leg, which is on the other side, is at negative voltage. So basically you're adjusting that voltage when you're sweeping that knob. And that, the way I've always understood it in my own terms, is what adjusts your frequency of like the VCF, for instance.
Okay. But when you're using something else to control it, so like in the instance of, say, you've got a sequencer that's plugged into the Leida machine,
right,
via control voltage.
Right.
Like the sequencer is what's actually controlling the filters in the Leida machine, but there's not a predefined range where like, okay, the sequencer is going to sweep from 0 volts to 5 volts, and that's what determines, quote unquote, the pot position on the filter, or maybe I'm confused.
No, the pot filter is just always going to be this. Like if you have it set at like 11 o'clock and whatever your pitch is from that frequency is that. That's completely different than what's coming in. You just adjust the frequency of what's coming in, whatever it is, as long as it's a control voltage based circuit.
So
it controls the frequency of what you're getting in. Right, just as I'm controlling the frequency of whatever LFOs that are already in that circuit, but it doesn't matter, you know, what that frequency, that's, yeah, this is probably going to have to get edited, guys. I'm totally messing this up.
Okay, so I want to get to the bottom of this, and I'm sure there are some other people that do too. So, I'm not sure if I'm misunderstanding you or not, but like what I'm imagining,
explaining it correctly.
Because what I'm imagining is, let's throw all that out for a moment. So I'm imagining that, let's use the Leiden machine for example. It has expression in too, right?
Yeah, basically all that. All that does is bypass your frequency pot, and your frequency pot is now in your foot pedal expression.
In your pedal. Okay. Yeah. And so the frequency pot is controlled by the expression pedal.
Yeah. When you plug it in.
Okay.
Cause yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think everybody most of the listeners of this podcast understand that the expression controls basically on different pedals. You can plug in the expression pedal, and somehow on that pedal, it will either control one thing or multiple things, and you can usually adjust it to control whatever the designer has let you control with expression.
Right.
If I'm understanding the purpose of control voltage, right, let's throw the expression pedal in the garbage. It doesn't exist anymore, but the Leiden machine is still there. Now you plug in a control voltage source, and that
a modulating control voltage source,
right? And that is now controlling the, in this case, the frequency knob. Basically, is that accurate?
No, it's not. It's not controlling the frequency knob. You're controlling whatever's coming in with the frequency knob. Like, let's say you've got like both LFOs running, okay, and they're running at different rates. Let's say tremolo type sounds running at different rates, and you are controlling that. I mean, that frequency controls the overall frequency of anything that's running into that box. Even if it's just like I am running a furry burrito into my Leiden machine from the in, and I'm not using control voltage in because it's not doing anything for that. And it will always control whatever it's getting, and it's getting two LFOs that are turned on right now because the Leiden has two LFOs, and it's controlling. If I have it set at 12 o'clock, both LFOs are going to be at that same pitch, maybe at different rates and at different depths. One's more intense than the other. And then you add in a control voltage. You can add in another LFO to that control voltage. So, and they're set at three different rates. So you got three different things going on. The frequency is the master control of like what that frequency is, no matter how low or how high.
Okay. So control voltage isn't it's not the expression control of the synth world then, like I was thinking. It's a different thing altogether.
Basically the control voltage is like, we're just going to save each other a bunch of time because I figured this would be the best way to say it. Just to say that there's like two LFOs in the Leiden machine, which there are, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say we want to add another LFO with a CV out module, or an envelope filter with a CV out module, or a sequencer with a CV out module. Basically, what you're doing is you're just adding another modulation into the mix. So basically,
that's way different than what I thought it was doing.
that's why I'm really different. Thinking we if we edit, we'll save people some time, because there's going to be a lot of people
they're going to be forced to listen to this just like I did.
Just like, okay, listen, man. Sometimes you have to take one for the team.
There's a good chance that like you said exactly that, and I didn't understand.
No, I didn't say exactly that, because the other people that are listening are going to be like, he didn't say exactly that. Jesus Christ, this guy makes pedals? Sorry, I swore, but pardon me. Yes. Did I say it was Wednesday?
Yeah, you did. You mentioned it was Wednesday.
Yeah,
I get it now, though. It's essentially, it's like adding another effect.
It's actually another effect, but it's only a control voltage type effect. I can't like take my Boss TR2 tremolo and like let it whatever and run it in. I mean, I'm not saying I haven't tried it, but theoretically it should.
Right. Okay. That makes a lot more sense now. I understand. That is not what I thought control voltage did at all. I thought it was basically a different way to externally control another control on the pedal.
See, now I understand what you're saying.
I thought it was an expression, like how an expression control is basically an external control for an internal.
No, that's not that at all. Now I understand what you were getting at. We knocked that one out of the park, Blake. I'm telling you what, baby.
I had to get another three years before
I get my fourth spot on the show. After that one, it's like that one just took a lot out of me. We can't do one for a while.
Yeah, we're gonna have to sit this one out for a while.
We're gonna have to sit the next one out for a while. I don't know.
There's probably a bunch of listeners who are like, Blake, you're an idiot.
No, I think a lot of people are probably like, Ryan, you're an idiot. I think, how about we just both sit down as idiots and then we can probably sort this out.
Okay. I mean, that seems to be what everybody does these days.
No boy, comment. I think we don't have to go there. Does that relate into the political realm? Then probably not.
I mean, if you want it to.
Oh, is there something else going on that I'm not aware of? Because I'm not aware of gossip and all this kind of stuff and related to the pedal world.
I was just being a jerk. That's all it was.
Oh, okay. No, I think clearly there's something going on that I don't know about. But that's fine.
Well, there is something going on that's kind of interesting that you might find interesting.
Really? Did something happen?
Not yet. But you are probably familiar with a certain company that supplied, quote unquote, supplied gear. But they didn't. They took a bunch of people's money and never delivered things. Not never, but at the end of the business, they were not delivering product. Remember this?
Gosh. This was like supplying.
I know it's happened more than once.
Are you talking supplying like gear or supplying parts?
It was a subscription service.
Oh, yeah, that. No, I know about that. Yeah.
Apparently, they posted something, not on any social or anything, but on their website, which was just gone for a while. They posted something that was very cryptic and weird, where they had a picture of their strings with the name crossed out, like, and then it said something to the effect of something coming 11/1/18. And that might actually, I'm not sure if this will come out before or after that date. I'll have to look at the calendar. But it's like a really kind of a controversial thing in the gear world.
Well, I would think so because
obvious reasons.
I'm familiar with a former employee. I'm friends with a former employee. I don't want to drop any names. I just hadn't heard. I knew that they just kind of all of a sudden they stopped and fell off, and then I started hearing and I was like, oh well, apparently something happened, you know. And then I started hearing that like they had not delivered what they should have been delivering, which was they were delivering nothing. And so then I was just like, well, that's not cool. And now they're back, which I'm not really sure how that will work out.
For the listeners,
is it the same owner?
We don't know, but I can only assume.
Yeah.
I don't know. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. And it might not be, it might be completely unrelated. It might be new people. It might be any number of things. Who knows what it is?
I don't know why a new person would want to take that on, especially with the things that had already transpired with that, which is unfortunate.
I don't understand it either, but you know, TMG made it work. They had about as backwards of a business as it could be, and the new owner seems to have successfully righted that ship, which I didn't really even know if it was possible at this point.
Who's TMG again?
TMG Guitars.
I'm not familiar with
him. I don't want to like resurrect all these horror stories. That wasn't my intention.
No.
It's just, but like they were kind of in the same boat. Like things were not what they were back in. This is a long time ago. They've been, as far as I know, straight and clean for years now. Well, but no, back in the day,
they had some
things. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but basically the guitars weren't what they said they were. And, they were again taking money and not delivering product, kind of the same situation, but with guitars. And then the original owner, you know, who knows what happened? It was taken over by a new guy, and I was like, I can't believe that you would want to take that on, but he did it, and it seems like they're doing pretty good and have been, you know, more transparent and been a good company for a while now.
If it is new ownership, then I can tell. They'll have to make sure that they highlight that. I think the friend that I'm talking about is somebody that you know. You have to know him.
Okay, well maybe we do, but I don't want to
I'm not trying to get all conspiracy and gossipy and stuff. I hadn't heard why. So that's been like the big news of like the latest rumblings of like what people are kind of like, what the heck's going on with this?
Yeah, it's been definitely a big chin scratcher. And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, I'm guessing if you listen to this show you probably know.
Have you guys talked about this company before on your show?
Here and there, yes.
Okay.
So if you can do a little bit of Googling about string subscription services, and you'll probably figure it out really quick.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be a super big jerk, and you know what I mean.
Hint, it's
I probably
not,
shouldn't have brought it up.
Hint, it's not String Joy, because they're great.
No, that's definitely not a problem over there.
No, he's also great though. Because he was right across from me at Summer NAMM, so I know it's not him. And he's a great guy. He lives in East Nashville. He's a really rad dude. He's always been very friendly, and we've gotten along just fine. And I've never heard anything bad about anything he's done. I'm like,
And that's not like he does that, but that's not his main focus either. It's
what else does he do?
He does. I mean, no. String Joy is his main focus, but but subscriptions are not his main focus.
No. He was never. That's what I'm saying. So, but like, yeah, the other places, the subscriptions.
No, Scott's fantastic. I talk to Scott all the time. All the time. We work together on a lot of stuff.
So. Oh, do you really?
He's good. Yeah. Oh yeah. He's my boy.
He's the good man. Dude. So you guys got to hang out when you went to Nashville right after the NAMM show.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We were down there, I was checking out the new shop and, you know, all that stuff. And it was fascinating to like see all that in action. It was really cool.
Yeah, he was, we found out when I was talking to him last summer that he actually lived in Indianapolis, and he was, while I was there, which not to date me, ladies and gentlemen, he was actually living there when I was living there, although I was older. I think he was. I'm sure I was older because I'm still older than he is. So, but yeah, like he was like, yeah, I lived in Indy. So we talk about like places and stuff like that. And so that was pretty funny. I was like, yeah, I was living there for a while. We probably crossed paths and didn't even know it because, you know, I was a young adult and you weren't. So there you go.
Yeah. Scott's great. I like him a lot.
Yeah. He's a good guy. So like, you have this thing with pizza. You have this love affair with pizza. Pizza's like your thing. Like when it comes to food, like the thing you talk about the most is pizza. Now I'm interviewing you.
And okay, that's fine.
That's okay. There's going to be a control voltage question in there. And just kidding. So where did you end up? I forgot. Where did you end up getting pizza when you were in Nashville?
Oh, man. Why can't I think of the name of it?
Mm-hmm.
We definitely got pizza, and my brain has completely failed, and I don't remember what it was called, but it was good.
Okay, so like, are you the type of person?
It was in East Nashville.
Was it Five Points Pizza? Was that right? Or was it something else?
That sounds right. I think it was Five Points Pizza.
So do you like the thin crust, or do you have to have the more deep dish type crust guy?
Yes.
You love the deep dish?
No, yes. I like them both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I prefer, like, if I'm ordering a pizza, I prefer a thin New York style, or maybe like a like an Italian wood fired type of situation. I generally prefer thin. However, I think there's a time and place for a little thicker crust, especially if you are getting somewhere that is very topping heavy and you need that extra support.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see the a time and place for some of that stuff. I generally, though, I prefer thin crust pizzas. I really like New York style pizzas. I was very, I'll admit it, I was very, very skeptical when I first went to New York City. I was like, you know what? I hear everyone talk about the pizza. Right. I look at the pizza in the pictures. It looks good, but you know what? It looks like pizza. Like, what? How can it be, you know, this right. thing? And so I was like, I don't know about this, but we'll give it a try.
Right.
And I had, obviously, a lot of pizza while I was there. And I was like, oh.
Is that all you ate? Was pizza in Nashville? Oh, in New York.
In New York. Yeah, in New York. I had a lot of pizza. It's not all I ate, but it was the main thing consumed, because obviously I got to know, right? And so I'm now a believer. I wasn't a believer, and I turned into one. Now I'm like, oh, I get it now. I really do.
You got to go to the obviously. I have never had pizza at a reputable place. Well, there was one time I got order out pizza when we had a bad layover years and years ago at JFK when we had to stay at a hotel. Mm-hmm. But like, it wouldn't. I don't know if it was good or bad. I was so damn hungry. It didn't matter. Do you know what I mean? It just didn't matter at that point. But like. Yeah. But you just make sure you go to the right spots in New York. That's all, you know?
Oh yeah.
Everybody can go to like, you can get New York pizza and you can get pizza in New York anywhere. But like, you know, you just got to make sure like you're hitting the places. Like, that's when I remember you posted on Instagram, like, or somewhere, or maybe it was Facebook or the Tone Mob forum on Facebook page. Or like, you know, we're going to Nashville. What would you recommend? And I recommended City House because it's a thin crust pizza and it's the, you know, the serious oven and all that kind of stuff. And it was really, really good. I had the pork underbelly, or the pork belly, I should say. And it had like a fried egg in the middle of it. It was so good. That
sounds
good.
Delightful.
It was great. And the only reason I know about City House is because I am and still a huge Anthony Bourdain fan, and he did a Nashville episode, and that's where they went. And of course I saw that episode right after he passed, so I was like, I am going to go to that place. So
that's awesome.
I don't know,
I need to go there next time.
You do need to it's great. I had a great experience there. It's a great little restaurant, really hard to find apparently because they don't have like a visible sign outside, but I guess they don't need one because it was packed.
If you know, then you know.
Right? I mean, you know, but it was, yeah, that was a hard one. It's just like, it seems like celebrity passings in the last couple of years have gotten to be a little bit more of like gut punch after gut punch. And like, that was another one.
You know. It's a strange thing, right? Like, you know, maybe it's because we're a little bit older, but I remember when I was a kid and like I'd see certain celebrities that would have passed and like adults were like visibly upset about it. I'm like, you don't know that guy. You know what I mean? Like, he's just, you know, some guy. But it's like what I didn't realize as a kid is like these people, they don't know, like we don't know them, but they're like become like when you become a fan of somebody, they become a part of your life.
Well, yeah. Like, and it's like when you see a show like that or any show that you're fond of or any kind of music that you're a fan of, knowing that they're around making music or doing what they do. And there's something about that that makes
you able to escape your regular day of whatever's going on in your life. Like, there was something about, you know, especially for instance in the Bourdain situation, like between no reservations, the layover, and Parts Unknown, like there is so much of that show that introduced me to food that I didn't even know existed. Do you know what I mean? And he didn't just do it in a way where, like, you know, he did it in a way that took you on a journey to see like what other parts, what he sees. And he didn't do it in a way that was like overproduced or like, he did it his own way. And he wanted to make sure it was like the most, you know, just like, I don't know if you saw that Joe Rogan podcast with one of the producers. Was it a producer that was one of Anthony Bourdain's producer on Parts Unknown?
I don't think I've seen that.
It was like 2 months ago or whatever, in the last 2 months. And they talked about it and just, you know, it just, you know, when you see, I guess you would never expect it from somebody like him because he always kind of seemed like bulletproof, full of life, and just clearly loves what he did. You know, so who knows?
It's a good reminder to think about these things, like, right? Because it's that guy clearly like had a good thing going. He lived more life than most people ever do, and had a great time doing it, and loved doing it. That much is like clear. Like, you could tell he wasn't phoning it in or anything.
No, he could tell he was definitely for real.
Yeah, but even he like. Had like meant that's like if people didn't believe it before, and I don't know how you couldn't in 2018, but mental illness is a real thing, and if that guy could succumb to something like that, then you gotta think like
could
how
be
powerful that must be.
Yeah. I mean, you always see what you see on the surface. You never really know what's going on in somebody's mind, you know. And
it's a tough thing, but yeah, all that to say is like, if you see somebody struggling, or you yourself are struggling, then definitely don't just sit there and deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like don't let that eat at you, because like if it can happen to that guy, it can happen to any of us.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sorry, we got into just a kind of like a down note. So I just wanted to.
That's not really a down note though. That's a good thing. Like sometimes people just need to hear that again. Sometimes people need to.
I hope so, but
like,
I just don't want it to, you know? To be with people that hear it be like, well, here we go. You know, it's not really so much about
those
that.
Aren't the ones. I'm sorry. Those people aren't the ones that need to hear it. There might be somebody listening to this that does need to hear it. And that's for you. You know what I mean? I think that's important to me. It's become really important to me in the last probably year. To stop seeing people kick each other down, and to stop seeing this horrible divide that we have. Doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't even matter if you're on the internet or not. Like, just the way some people, it's easy to demonize people. It's easy to tell people that they're wrong and bad and whatever. But at the end of the day, most people really do want, like, they want what's best. And their idea of what's best is different than what my idea of what's best is, but I need to like check myself and not be like, well, that guy's an idiot and a horrible person because he disagrees with me. That's not the way we're supposed to be.
No, it's not the way we're supposed to be. If I don't agree with somebody, that's fine. If we can, as long as you can like disagree with somebody in a very like polite, professional kind of way.
And
to
I think
be ugly and to like trash people, whatever side of the aisle that you live on, is totally just, it doesn't help. It just doesn't help, man. Like, we're all in this together. And one of these days, I hope we figure it out before something awful happens. And like, hasn't there been enough awful things happen already? I mean, honestly. I mean, Jesus.
Let's not compound the problem.
Yeah, really. That's.
I mean, really.
Yeah. I just try to keep my head down and do what I do, you know. And
exactly.
Try not to let the outside noise of how people talk to each other bother me. And I think it's important that
we all are as nice as we can be. Like, we all have our limits. So I'm like, you know, if you see somebody, if you're on the street and you see somebody totally being doing something that's completely uncool, then, you know, for all means, by all means, speak up. But there's also a way to do it. You don't just, you know, go in there guns blazing, no pun intended, hopefully, for crying out loud, because that's not cool.
No.
But like,
and that's, you know, well, that's kind of what I'm, that's what I'm thinking is like we need to remember that, like, that when we're communicating with each other via these interwebs and via these things, which is a wonderful thing. I think, like,
the
way we can communicate is super important and super great. But I think we need to remember that, we're accountable for what we say. Both, like, you should be just as careful with your words on the internet as you are.
Oh my gosh.
When you're standing next.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Like, I see, you know, people saying things, that's like, the thing that I would really love about being so fortunate to be able to build pedals and to know that there's people that like my stuff and be able to do podcasts like this, which I don't do enough podcasts, so that's kind of my fault. But I love being part of this community and knowing people like you and just countless others that I've met in the last, like, in the short time that I've been doing this, like 4 or 5 years. That, like, I don't really feel that, like, stuff that you feel that when you see stuff in other places or on the web. Do you know what I mean? I feel like there's just, like, this common respect and bond and, like, you know, and I'm so fortunate. It's almost kind of like it's like a safe place. But it's a large safe place, which is, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it does. And you know, I'm like not trying to be all doom and gloom. I'm trying to, like, end it on a positive note. But you're right. We got a good thing going, and let's keep it that way.
Yeah, and it's everybody be nice, and everybody just, like, you know, if we just, like, sit down and just play some music or listen to music and just figure it out and put it all together and. Know that there's really great people like Blake Weiland out there that
there's a lot better people than me.
Oh yeah. Wow. Okay, come on, man. I don't know you. I mean,
I'm no Ryan McKay.
Well, I'm no Dalai Lama, but come on. I'm no Blake Weiland. Forget about it. But, you know, I mean, see, that's the thing, is it, like, it's always like, No, you're great, man. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's the door always swings both ways, which is very, very wonderful to be a part of. So
true story.
And I wish, the thing is that, like, you know, I wish a lot of us all lived closer so we could all see each other more often, but it's just like, cause then, like, it was this winter NAMM. I met you for the first time in person and it was like running here and there and blah, 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 got to do this and whatever. Cause I totally get it. Cause I'm doing the same thing. And just, like, you know, you don't really have more than a couple moments. And there was that night we went out to dinner at that brew pub next to, I don't know where that
was.
Yeah.
With the Guitar Nerds guys. Yeah.
With the Guitar Nerds guys who were great. I didn't really get a chance to have a real conversation with, which I just feel bad about. And then you, and then Burke was there, Ryan Burke from 60 Cycle. And I think, does he still have his, I think his partner was there too. His partner in crime at 60 Cycle.
Steve.
Was Steve?
Yeah. I don't think Steve was there yet. Steve wasn't there yet.
Is Steve still a part of 60 Cycle?
Oh, totally.
Is he just more behind the scenes? Because I don't really see, every time I see a video, it's always Ryan.
Well, the videos is primarily Ryan, but Steve is the co-host on all the podcasts. You've been behind the times, man.
I have, like I said, I'm just, you know, lots going on here, obviously. You know.
Yeah, he Steve's definitely still involved. Ryan does, I think, you know,
Do they have guests on their podcast, or is their podcast just them talking?
They have had guests, but primarily it's just them two.
That's kind of what I thought.
They don't do a ton of guests, but they have done it in the past.
Yeah. Can we make each other a promise?
Maybe
the next time, which I'm not even sure. Maybe depends on what you're talking about, baby. What's on the table? The next time that I come to Portland, which I have no idea when that'll be, either
And it doesn't even, we don't even have to do like a live podcast recorded. Just, I would love more than anything to just go out and have a meal with you. It doesn't even have to be us. It could be like with just like whatever. And gosh, Leon and Justin, cause I mean, I met Justin in Winter at Winter NAMM, and he was at that dinner too. And he was great. I would just love to just
totally
get together with you guys. Even if I have to like make and just go out there just so I can do that. If you know, the budget fits, it would be worth it. I would just like, that would be just the best because I love Portland.
Well, there, I found, speaking of pizza, and this is a good place to lead off. And I've probably already talked about this on the show a few times, but I finally found a really like legit slice shop here that I'm just obsessed with right now.
Really? A slice shop just by the slice?
Yeah, by the slice, New York style. Oh. Yeah, it's called Scotty's Slice Shop, and it is really, 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 really good.
Are they downtown?
So, they're on the east side.
Right on.
Kind of close, sort of close to the Benson Shop, actually. So,
oh, I met him too. He's great. He's such a sweetheart. Gosh.
Oh, totally. In fact, I can't remember. I'll have to look. He might be on the episode that's just before this. I'll have to check the schedule because he's come back on. He was like my second interview ever. And so we did another one because things have really changed for both of us since then.
Mm. Yeah, his amps are unreal. He's just a super great human being, just from the limited conversation I had with him this past summer. I wanted him to come by the booth, and then when he would come by, he would kind of be like, oh, you're busy. And I was like, yeah, we just never made it work, but whatever. It's fine.
It happens.
It does. It happens.
Well, let's wrap this up.
All right,
got a little over an
up.
Hour,
we
but
on.
Before,
yep.
Before we do that though, where can everybody find you on the interwebs?
At Yellow Cake Petals on Instagram. Just search Yellow Cake Petals on Facebook, and if you need to get a hold of me, through email, ryan@yellowcakepetals.com or the website yellowcakepetals.com. Oh, don't forget, quick plug, limited run of Furry Burrito in the Orange Box was posted today, or yesterday actually. So by the time this comes out, there should still be hopefully some left in stock. Maybe, I don't know.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you so much, Blake, for your time, man. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. All right, everybody, for Ryan, this is Blake, and as always, folks, good luck and good tones.
There you have it. There's another episode in the bank. Ka-ching. We're chugging right along on our way to episode 100, and I'm kind of excited about that. I think that's kind of a crazy thing to even be saying, but we're almost there. So thank you to everybody who has stuck with this weird thing for this long. It is just awesome of you to do that. And again, we have a couple Model 1s left, so if you still want to get in on that fuzzy action, we have a few of those left at tonemob.com/store, and you can check out the demos. We got 3 different demos up. This is the Germanium edition, and I think we're done with them at this point. We've just got too many other irons in the fire to try to do another run of those. In fact, we got a rather awesome one coming up next week, so stay tuned for that. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's spooky. But yeah, the Model 1s, still got some of those left. If you guys are interested in picking one of those up, go to tonemob.com/store. You can check out, we got 3 different demos done that are all really good and show off the wide range of sounds that are available in this thing. And thank you to everyone who's already picked one up and are rocking it. I hear that one of my favorite bands is going to be using it on a record. I'm so excited. But I don't want to speak too soon because I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Anyway, thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next week, and I hope you have a great one. One last thing before we totally sign off here. I just want to remind you that if you do any shopping at Stringjoy, that's Stringjoy Guitar Strings made in Nashville, that will help me out as well. As I've said for years, I'm heavily involved in that company, and I really do think they're making the best products on the market. So if you would like to try custom strings,
go to tonemob.com/stringjoy and check them out today. I seriously love what the team down there is doing. I help them out with all kinds of things, and by you supporting them, you are also supporting me as well. And hey, you need some strings, so why not get some custom strings just for your guitar and playing style? Again, the link for that is tonemob.com/stringjoy, and that will take you right to their website, and you can do all your shopping through there, and that will help everyone involved out. So thank you very much. Talk to you next time. We are brought to you by the wonderful folks at Gun Street Wiring Shop. Yes, Gun Street Wiring Shop. I've talked about them before. I used to say based out of Bend, Oregon, but guess what? Sean moved to my neck of the woods. Sean's in Portland. Sean is awesome and has helped me with a bunch of stuff lately. And if you have wiring needs for your guitar, he can help you too. If you want to get weird with it, he can get weird. If you just need to spruce things up a little bit, there's your guy. He takes all the guesswork out of doing your guitar wiring, and he makes it simple, and his customer service is top-notch, and I can't say enough good things about Gun Street as a company. I really respect Sean and what he's all about, and the product is top-notch. I've got 3 different guitars that now have Gun Street harnesses in them, and I could not be happier. So go to GunStreetWiringShop.com and check them out.